Right. It's always interesting to me that when you have to bring the word, then you actually speak more to yourself those days leading up than anybody else. And I was like, Lord, I want to bring this word. And God just stopped me in my tracks. And he's like, no, girl. No, let's just go back. Let's go back. And it was interesting. I got this word about 2 years ago. And this week on Monday, a friend of mine sent me the exact word. And a day later, Hercules sent our family the exact word. So I was like, okay, Lord, I hear. I met Chrissy on Tuesday, and she was like, so what are you going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. but God knows. God knows. And it's. I'm sure all of you have heard it. And but you know what? It's always, for me, it's always, let's go back to the basics. If the basics, the foundation is laid, then we can build. But if the foundation isn't laid right, then we can't build. I'm bringing the word out of Isaiah. Lovely Isaiah. 54. And I'm going to read from verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolated cities. I read this scripture over and over again. My mom gave me the scripture just after I got... In 1998, just before I got baptized, my mom gave this word to me. And I was always like, yeah, Lord, yeah, just, I want to get my tents wide spread open. You know, come on, Lord, help. Come on, Lord, you must do it. You must do it. And you know what? It actually doesn't say the Lord is going to enlarge your tent. God tells you to enlarge your tent. He's not going to do it. You're going to enlarge your tent. If you look at David, it's David's life. David had sheep. He was looking after sheep. So his tent wasn't that wide, wasn't he? So the tent represents you, your capacity. So he was looking after the sheep. Who knows, maybe he had 20 sheep, 30 sheep. And I'm sure when he was sitting with those sheep, he never thought he's going to reign a kingdom. But to get to reigning a kingdom, he had to start with a little sheep. And God took him every step of the way, and he had to enlarge his tent every time a little bit bigger. He had his sheep, and then he had to enlarge it, and he had to get and kill a lion. And then he was settled there for a while in that tent. And then God said, no. Come on, move it. We've got more things to do. Enlarge your tent. He had to enlarge his tent a little bit more. He had to get the bear. And then he had to enlarge his tent more. He had to kill Goliath. So every step of the way, David had to enlarge his tent in faith. He had to do it. God didn't do it. He had to step up. When the minute that he enlarged his tent, God stepped in and helped him to conquer. But if he didn't step out in faith, he wouldn't conquer. And if we think about coming up, share, how big is your tent to go out and share in the streets? I must admit to you guys, my tent is sometimes very small when it comes out into the streets and proclaim the gospel. My tent is very small. I'm like, Lord, how are these people going to take me? My Lord and God is saying to me, go out and make disciples. But Lord, how am I going to do it? This is my little tent. Now God is asking us as a church to enlarge our tent. First of all, you've got to do it. Yes, God is going to go with you, but you've got to do it. You've got to step out in faith. And it's sometimes hard. Man, I remember the first time that I have to share the gospel in public. I was shaking. You know when your kneecaps shake so much that you can hardly stand? That is how I felt. I was like, Lord, these people are going to reject me. These people are going to do nasty things to me. And God just asked me, Margot, enlarge your tent. Step out in faith. Enlarge it. But you know, if we enlarge it, we also need we need a little help. And you know, Moses had Aaron. Aaron helped Moses a lot because, you know, all of us have come up with excuses when it comes to enlarge our tents. Lord, I am young. Or, Lord, you know how old I am? Do you have an idea, Sarah? Lord, I can't speak, Moses. Lord, I can't speak. Well, then I'll help you, my son, Aaron. David had Jonathan. He shared his heart with Jonathan. He was running like crazy. But Jonathan was there. There was Esther. Esther had Mordecai. Esther asked him, pray with me. Mordecai went to the nations. And the Israelites prayed with Esther. And then there was Mary, a teenager, scared, pregnant, not married. And Elizabeth came, a wiser woman who was in the same position as her, pregnant, who's waited many, many years. And these people in your life who wants to help you. You know, when I absolutely love the story of Moses and Aaron. To me, it is an amazing story where I can't announce these things properly, so excuse me. But Moses went up the hill, okay, and Joshua went down to fight, okay? And Moses had to have his hands up high. And while his hands up high, they will win. Now imagine you're sitting there on the hill. These guys have got all the swords, and you have to hold up your hands. Like, Lord, really? I'm sorry, I will be like, Lord, really? Are you kidding me? Am I going to hold up my hands? And now I'm getting tired. I don't know if you have been like that, but I've sometimes in praise and worship, then my arms really get tired, and that wasn't even 2 minutes. Okay, these guys were on the whole day, and Moses had to hold up his hands. But he had help. He had Aaron. It says in Exodus 17, verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of the men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steadily till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with a sword. Now guys, I don't know about you, but this morning I'm not standing here without a troop behind me praying for me. I can't stand up here without a troop behind me. I've got people all over the city praying this morning for me. And when we go out into the city proclaiming God's word, you need an army behind you. If you need to go to work and you're fighting a battle, you need an army behind you. Who's your prayer buddies? Who's holding up your hands when you're going through a battle? I want you to really think about it. In your small group, are you honest with your small group when you go through tough times? It's always so nice, you know, for me, when I get a message on my WhatsApp of somebody who's going through a tough time asking us to pray, because I know that I can help that person. Physically, I might not be able to be there because I live on the other side of the city or I live in another country. But you know, my prayers makes a difference. And I want you to know that, guys, you can get through whatever you're going through if you have your prayer buddies behind you. And it's fine to be honest. You know, it's actually honesty, guys, really touch people's hearts. When you just say, I really can't get through this without you. I can't get through this without your help. And God must always be the center of that. So the second part of the verse, it says about the tent curtains. Now, that's your vision. Your vision. When the tent curtains, I went up and I read a little bit about the tents, you know, in those days. And it was very interesting to me is that they actually didn't have a lot of openings in those days. They didn't. They only had one or two openings on the tents. And actually, the one was the most prominent one. And the father figure or the leader will always sit at the tent entrance. And he will guard his tent entrances, who's coming in and who's going out. And that tent thing will be lifted up. It's not as much as a door, but it was like, you know, it was entrance to it, okay? And that's where he sat and he viewed everybody who came past. He saw everybody who comes past. And that's your vision. What's your vision? What are you focusing on right now at your tent? Are you focusing on what God wants for you? Or are you focusing on your giants that's in front of you? Or are you just focusing you, me, and myself? What are you focusing on today? What is your vision right now? What is your vision for this church right now? We can stare at our feet. Or we can look at God and say, Lord, where are you going to take us? How are we going to overcome this? You know, I'm sure when Joseph was sitting in jail, his vision was definitely not at that moment to go and save Israel. No ways. He was just sitting there. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do here, right now? He didn't think about the far, far future. So many of us, we so focus on the far, far future that we're missing what God wants to do right now. He wants to enlarge your tent where you are right now. But you've got to do it. He wants to do it with you. Okay, so when Joseph, I think Joseph's tent, I see it as, you know, when he was with his dad and his brothers, man, he was a cool guy. It was all about me, my goat, what am I doing? He's such a so cool. And then, whoops, his vision changed. Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. I'm in the pit. Oh, so sorry for myself. And then his vision changed again because then he had a choice to make. And then he started to make choices that involved God. You can see the change in Joseph's life when he started to choose God before him. He didn't care about that cloak anymore. You never hear about that cloak anymore. But he went and he focused on God. And it's, I love Joseph's story, how it actually, you know, how God takes him the full circle back to where he started off, but with a totally different attitude. Totally, totally different attitude in front of his brothers. And every time he enlarged his tent. So, and your vision, you know, your vision is God doesn't want you to hold back. We put God in a box, you know, and say, oh Lord, this is where we're going. God's box, there isn't the box for God. You try and put God in a box, okay? I've tried. I can't, okay? God has got big, big dreams for you. He wants you to have a big, big tent. He doesn't want you to sit, okay? Abraham and Sarah were sitting in a tent with no child. No child. God had bigger dreams for them. Much, much bigger dreams. They would have been the father and mother of thousands. But it all started in a little tent. And their faith had to enlarge every step of the way. So guys, let's not hold back on our dreams and our vision with God. God, I'm sorry, if you have your own vision, you've got a problem. Okay? If God's not in that vision, you've got a problem. But if God is in that vision, man, it can be scary. It can be sometimes overwhelming. And you think, Lord, you know, as a lot of you know, Ian and I, we haven't had children yet. And it's sometimes, it's hard for me. It is so hard, especially of NHS. If you're over 40, the chances that you will get pregnant is zero. Okay, and it's my faith, you know, to like, no, excuse me. No, I'm not going to stand for that. My God is bigger than that. It's not always easy, but I have to stand on what God says to me. My God is bigger than my age and this body. God is bigger. And then in another piece of the scripture said, lengthen your cords. Now, the cords, I found that very interesting as well in the tents that they did. They never had the cords outside the tent visibly. You couldn't see because of the wind, they always covered the cords as well. So that it won't flap against the, but it is hold it in. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not really describing very well. But they will take the, they will put up the tent with a normal covering, and then on top of it they will cover with another layer, and that layer is made out of goat's skin, and that skin is so thick that it will keep them warm, and if it rains, it will. The water will just run over it. Okay, so they put between the two layers is the ropes, okay, to make sure that it doesn't flap against it all the time. Now those cords, guys, is our faith, because we have to stretch our faith, lengthen your cords, stretch a little bit your faith. How much faith do you have? Sometimes I've got a lot. Sometimes I've got nothing. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, I can't see you coming. I can't see this happening. But you know what? God's grace covers my faith. God's love covers my faith all the time. I'm not open to the elements. Because God's grace is covering. But I have a responsibility to go and lengthen my cords. If I want to enlarge my tent, I have to lengthen my cords. My faith has got to stretch. it's got to stretch. I can't make my tent any bigger if my cords are not going to stretch. There's no ways. So I have to stretch my faith. You know, so sometimes you have to act. Because in John 2 verse 26, it says, faith, let me read it actually. Let me just read it. Is it John? Oh, John 2. But it says basically John 2, I can't even read my own handwriting, sorry. But it's basically, it's my, the acts, faith without deeds. If you don't have faith without deeds, okay, it, you have to sometimes do things to have faith, okay? You have to act. You can't just sit and say, I have faith. Yeah, James 2, sorry. The writing is not very good here. You have to act on your faith sometimes, and it's hard when you have to act on it. So my mother, she's an amazing woman of faith. So she went to the library one day, and she said she just felt that God is telling her to go and tell this woman that he's seen her tears. And she said she was terrified. She was like, Lord, I didn't know this woman. How am I going to say to her, I've heard you, God has heard your tears. She said, I was walking in faith, like, God, you know, this woman is going to receive it. And she walks up to this woman, she said to her, listen, God just wants you to know that he's heard your tears. And this woman just stood there, and she just started to cry, and cry and cry. And she said, my son is an addict, and I've been praying for him, and I've been asking God, do you hear my tears? And for her, in that moment, it stretched her faith, because my mom stepped out in faith. So sometimes it's not the big things that we have to step out in faith for. Sometimes it's the small things. When God tells you to pay for somebody's milk at the milk counter, at the counter at Sainsbury's. Sometimes it's to open a door to a lady and tell her, have a great day. Because nobody has even seen her the whole week. Nobody's even spoken to her. Guys, it's not always the big things that we have to walk in faith for. It's sometimes the small, small things. When we go out and share the good news of God, he sometimes uses the little things. You know what the biggest thing I think stands in our faith walk? Is fear of rejection. We are so afraid that this person is going to tell me where to go and what to do with my faith. Really? Just think about how ridiculous that is. It's for me, it's like, Margot, you sometimes have this, yeah. This week I was faced with that, okay? I had this thing in my head that, oh, I don't know how to get to my neighbor. I don't know how to get to him. And he walked into my house, and he was telling me he's really struggling. And I was like, John, can I pray for you? Yes, please. Without hesitation, yes, please. It was my fear. He was so glad that I prayed for him. Don't let our fears hold us back from sharing our amazing faith. And don't let it stand in stretching your faith. Then the other thing is, the last one in. Strengthen your stakes. Can you show the next one? So, Ian and I love camping, okay? It's just the two of us, okay? And that is how we look when we go camping, okay? That's the car seats are down, and it is filled to the top. But it's just the two of us. We've got everything. Name it, we've got it. We are organized campers, very organized. Anyway, so we drove down our favorite campsite down in North Devon. I didn't know. Anyway, we drove down and we left quite late here, and halfway there it started to rain, and but we were fine, you know. We are organized campers. Okay, so we got there, it was dark. By then the wind was blowing and it was raining. But we are organized campers. Look at it. We've got everything. Okay, so we got out. We got the tent. We've got our jackets on. We are, you know, we can do this, man. Where's the tent pegs? I don't know. Where is the tent pegs? We forgot to pack the tent pegs. And, you know, when I was... Yeah, when I was preparing for this, I was reminded of that night. It was not nice, okay? I was grumpy, I was wet. We decided to take the cords and put it to the bushes, two to the bushes and two to the car. And, yeah, so the whole night, okay, this tent was on top of us. And I didn't feel very safe, okay? But we had all the equipment. But all the equipment. And some of us, is like me and Ian, we've got everything. We've got God's word. But do we really have God as our peg deep into the ground that will keep our tents totally secure with our faith connected to God and God alone? How deep is your tent pegs centered into the ground? Do you pack God in your daily routine, or do you forget Him at home like me and Ian did? It says, strengthen your stakes. And the stake is God. We have to trust God with everything we have. Because you know what? When these little tent pegs are deep in the ground, the wind can come. It will keep that tent secure. It will keep it completely secure. My faith connected to God will keep my tent secure. And guys, the bigger your tent, the bigger your tent pegs will be. Yeah, we went to a show in Germany last year, and this guy, man, he had tent pegs. Like, these things were like, we tried to use these, it were like, and he had these massive ones with this massive hammer. And the wind could come, there was no ways it's going to go anywhere. Now, I want my faith grounded in my God. My God is so strong, grounded in my heart. My tent must be secure in Him. Are you secure in your God? Or did you forget Him at home? So guys, I don't know where your tent is at the moment. I don't know how big your tent is. I know my tent at the moment is very small in some areas. Some areas it's big, but in some areas it's so small. And God, I've been praying and fasting now for a year, and I've been asking God to bring me breakthrough. And this week God was like, Margo, enlarge your tent. And I was like, but Lord, it's all you have to do, Margo, is enlarge your tent. I'm going to enlarge my tent. From now on, I'm going to step out. I'm going to enlarge it. I'm not going to expect God to do it for me. Some of us are expecting God to do it. God is going to go with me enlarging my tent. But you have to do your part. You can't expect it to come to you. I was actually thinking of Safisa when I was there. Safisa didn't get where you got today with sitting expecting God to open doors. You had to work hard. You had to enlarge his tent. It's the same with your careers. You didn't get where you got without sitting and enlarging your tent. Every interview, you went a little bit bigger. So with this coming up with your share week, come on guys, let's enlarge our tents for this church. This is not it. Definitely not. We're going to enlarge this tent. We're going to stretch our faith cords next week, the next 2 weeks. We're going to strengthen our stakes. We're going to plant it deep. We're not going to forget it at home. We're going to make it strong. And you know what I love about the next scripture is, for you will. God says he will. He will. I love that. It's we do, God will. God will bring our disciples from this church is going to go to the nations. It's going to do God's will. If you're ready or not, God is going to do it. And we have to be ready, guys. Let's enlarge our tents and be ready for this new thing. And then, you know, if you read before this, enlarging your tent, he's saying, sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who never in labor, because more are the children of the desolated woman than of her who has a husband. So it's actually, guys, what attitude are we going? Enlarging our tents. Are we going to go moaning, groaning? Oh, I don't want to really go to share. I don't want to really go. Lord, you know how I feel. Or are we going to go, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this, Father. I'm going to praise you in the mountains. I'm going to praise you in the valley. But I'm going to praise you. We've got a choice. How are we going to go into this? And you know, then after the scripture, it says, fear not. Do not be afraid. So how are we going to enter? With praise. Because then we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid of the gospel. Yeah. So that's my word for you today. You know, it might be just with share that you need to enlarge your tent. Maybe there's other areas in your life that you have to enlarge your tent. But make sure that your cords are strengthened and your stakes are hard, driven hard into the ground. Because God is with you all the time. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, that we can come to you, Father, and ask you to be with us in this journey, Lord, to enlarge our tents, Father. Lord, that we don't have to do it on our own, Father. That you will be with us all the way, Lord. Yeah, Father, we lift our eyes to you, Lord. Yeah, Father, as we do this. And we will, yeah, Lord, our visions will be wide open to what you want for this church and for us, Lord, as individuals. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your greatness and your mercy and your love.